Well, we're going to be in John chapter 6. So if you would start heading towards John chapter 6. But before we get going, before we get too far, let's pray. Lord, we're thankful to be here. We're thankful to get a chance to worship you and prepare our hearts to hear your word. We're grateful for the grace and the mercy that you've poured out on us, the grace, the undeserved favor. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us through your word, open our eyes, open our ears to hear you, and help us to do the things that you ask us to do. Lord, please send your spirit, be here now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are in John chapter 6. We're going to start John chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. After these things, after what things? We always have to, you know, it's hard picking up right in the middle of a chunk of scripture, and when you haven't been kind of reading along as you go. After what things? Well, after a bunch of contending with the Jews over a miracle that Jesus had just done at the Pool of Bethesda. And in John chapter 5, verse 18, it says, therefore, so why are they all bugged and mad? Well, verse 16, chapter 5, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had healed this guy on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them and said, my Father is working and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought to kill him even more, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. It's kind of funny when you look at that. That's right there. They're mad at Jesus. Why? Is it because he mistreated somebody? No, he didn't heal a guy on the right day. What? It's funny. It's a really good picture of religion. We just sang the song "The Lost Are Found," and in the chorus it says, "The lost are found, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead will live, and you are our God. Evermore will you reign." So. And, you know, I'm singing that song, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. We are worshiping him. The lost are found. The blind will see. The lame will walk. The dead will live. It's all things that Jesus just did. And you are God. And we're singing that in worship to him. Like, oh God, you're awesome. Jesus, you're awesome. And this is exactly what we're praising him and worshiping him with, is what the religious people used as an accusation against him. Wow. So I hadn't really planned to talk about that, but that was something that the Lord just spoke to me as we were in worship. I said, wow, what a stark contrast. That's religion, and this is Jesus. Oh man, awesome. Anyway, it's great. Praise the Lord. So in John chapter 6, so after these things, and after causing this ruckus and rile and stirring up the religious leaders, and they're all ticked, Jesus takes his disciples and he heads across the Sea of Galilee, takes a boat ride. And in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles that he did on them that were diseased. And a great multitude followed him because they, okay. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So Jesus kind of gets out of town, takes his disciples, and takes them up on a mountain to be with him up there alone. And what a great time it is to, when you get alone and spend time with the Lord, get away from the noise, get away from the distraction. I always think, okay, you know, going and getting away, getting up on a mountain, and everything else kind of fades away, and it kind of thins out the crowd too. I don't know if that's part of what Jesus was doing here with his disciples, but sometimes, and I'm sure you guys have experienced it as well. Sometimes getting alone with the Lord takes work, and you have to be purposeful. You don't just kind of end up on the top of a mountain, you know, like, oh wow, I'm on the top of a mountain. How'd I get here? You know, it's on purpose. And Jesus went up there with his guys. And those who wanted to be with him, who wanted to spend that time with him, they made sure that they were there. Or there was if it was too hard, oh man, this fall, where is Jesus going? Oh man, he just keeps on walking. He's going. I'll just stay right here. I'll wait until he comes back. Or, you know, you have that opportunity to, do I want to go with the Lord where he's going? And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a lot of work. But it's worth it. In verse 4, it says, "And the Passover of the feast of the Jews was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said to Philip, 'When shall we buy bread that these may eat?' And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." So Jesus asks Philip, and I don't know why he picked out Philip. Sometimes the Lord will pick us out, you know, he'll single us out and ask us a question. It is generally not because he needs to know the answer. It's not because he doesn't know what the answer is or what he's going to do about it. But he said this to prove him, verse 6, because he already knew what he was going to do. It's generally for our benefit. And it's generally an opportunity for us to stretch and grow. And he wants us to walk by faith, and he wants us to trust him. A lot of times we come up against something hard, or the Lord asks us to do something in particular, and I know it's my tendency. I'm like, okay, start doing the math, figuring this out. All right, okay, now I'm a problem solver, so I need to solve this problem. It's mine. The Lord gave it to me, so I need to. Okay, well, Lord, this is a test. I know you're going to try to, you know, prove me to see what's in my heart. And sometimes the Lord just wants you to say, I don't know, Lord, what should we do? My 6-year-old, she's in the why stage. Why? Catherine, can you get your mouth off the glass window, off the door, off the, but why? And so, of course, I'm wanting to answer her questions. You know, when she asks why, I want to be able to give a reasonable explanation for, but sometimes, like, oh man, microbiological contamination, you know, I don't, like, no, just because I said so, and just because it's good, don't slam the door on your brother. Why? Oh man, and so I get upset and angry with my little daughter, but it's okay. And the Lord, you know, kind of busts me on that. Hey, guess what? You do the same thing. Really? Yeah, Lord, I guess you're right. Sometimes he wants us to just trust him and have faith and obey. But he always does it for our benefit. So what did Philip do? Philip said, Lord, we trust you. What should we do? Verse 7, Philip answered, starts doing the math. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. So that even every one of them can have a little. So, you know, he's working it out. Okay, so, all right, how many people do we have? Okay, a lot of people. How much do you have? Boy, there's not even enough to feed the 13 of us, let alone everybody else that's coming. What do we do? This is nearly, This is nearly impossible. Jesus is like, oh, that's awesome. That's perfect. Perfect. Just right. Love those odds. He loves those odds. And then, and I don't know, kind of look at the guys, you know, and they're all together. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto them, verse 8 and verse 9, well, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And there's a colon there in the, and so you wonder, they're all sitting there talking together. And he's like, hey, there's some, this kid has got some fish and some bread. You just see them looking over at him. And then he's like, but what are they among so many? And so I wonder, what is Jesus doing the whole thing? He's like, oh, that is awesome. Because that is something I can use. And not just that he had those elements, because the Lord could have picked up the stones. He could have picked up the rocks and made bread. But he said, ah, that is awesome kind of faith. And of course, I'm sure he's getting you know, dirty looks from the other guys, you know, like, oh, come on, what's wrong with you? And Jesus is like, oh, that is perfect. Watch this, guys. And they don't know. They've never seen this. We have the benefit of knowing kind of the end of the story. So in verse 10, Jesus said, okay, make all the guys sit down. And now John makes a comment here that there was much grass there. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And it's cool. Why did he say that? Now there's much grass there. You know, I don't know, because it was a nice, comfy spot to chill out and relax. And the Lord is not only concerned about our needing sustenance and needing to be fed, but also at sometimes the Lord is our Father and He loves us, and you know, He provides comfort for us. He loves us. It's like, oh, here's a nice grassy spot. Let's all kind of sit down right here and huddle up. And in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to His disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. So He took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, and that's something. Provision, even before Jesus did anything, He took the loaves, and then He thanked the Lord before anything had been done. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you've ever been wondering, what's the will of God? What's God's will for me? Whatever. His will is that you rejoice always, that you pray without ceasing, and then everything give thanks. Jesus is giving thanks before the miracle happens. Of course, He knows what He's going to do. But for the same thing for us, that's what He wants us to exercise, that faith. Give thanks even before anything has happened. So we have things that we're praying about here in this fellowship, in this body, and we can give Him thanks because we know He will deliver, and we know that He will provide, and we don't have to be upset and nervous. We're with Jesus. He's here, and we can sit at His feet. As we were going along and singing the songs, of course, Bobby gets teared up and choked up. Awesome. He has a sensitive heart for the Lord. And so we're singing that song, Lord As We Cry. That was a new song. I hadn't heard that song before. And Lord, as we cry out to You. And, you know, so I'm sitting there worshiping. I'm like, oh, hold it together. Come on. And as we cry, you know, lifting up my and tears start running. I'm like, as we cry, and I'm like, I'm crying. And it's, well, no, the song is, you know, as we cry out to You, but hear our voice, and yeah, yeah, we can cry out to him, you know, pass our need on to him, but, you know, even, yeah, we cry to him, you know, it's awesome. He loves us. He's our Father. And so here Jesus is providing for them. He's about to provide. And so he distributed it to his disciples. Then the disciples passed out. They passed the elements out. They didn't pass out. Well, they were about to pass out. The disciples then, when they were sat down, they likewise, they passed out the fish as much as they would. And Jesus gave it to his disciples. Jesus didn't hand out the bread and the fish to those guys because you know, he handed it to his disciples and his disciples handed out. And that's our job too. The Lord provides us with nourishment. He provides us with his word, with understanding, with wisdom. And it's our job to hand it out and to pass it out and distribute it to those who have come to hear the Lord. We have the opportunity, and you say, okay, well, I mean, there are awesome ministries, there are cool things that are happening here, and not everybody is involved, not everybody is on the worship team, not everybody is teaching, not everybody is in children's ministry, but if you say, okay, well, I don't know what my ministry is, I don't know, Lord, what you want me to do here, I don't know, where is my part, where do I fit in here, the Lord has something for all of us. When we walk in the door here, there are people that are sitting among us who may not know the Lord, or maybe their first time. There's all kinds of things that happen in our lives, and we come here for whatever reason the Lord drew you here or brought you here. It's so that he can talk to you, he can minister to you, because he loves you. And it's our opportunity to make sure I can go and shake hands. I may have the opportunity, even though I'm not leading worship, I can shake hands at the door. I can make somebody feel welcome. I can smile at them. I can invite them over to my house. I can share with them what I have. And it might be small. It might be two fish and a couple loaves of bread. But you know what? The Lord multiplies it. And the Lord will use that in ways that you don't even know, that you couldn't have guessed. So we all have that opportunity to deliver and pass on those things that Jesus passed to us. And in verse 12 it says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So when they were filled, in the Greek, that's glutted. You've heard Steve teach on that before too. It's glutted, full, packed, and so for those of you who came to Steve's party yesterday, kind of you understand what glutted is, because I know I was glutted. There was so much food and there was so many desserts. You guys are awesome dessert makers. Wow! So I have a little bit of everything, and I rolled out of here. I had to roll out of here. And so this is the same word. They were filled. They had all the, whoa, okay, could you pass the fish sandwich? Whoa. And then, yeah, to top it all off, there were a few of us that met over at Steve's house to watch UFC. And I was still full from eating over there. And so Jeremy rolls in with a bag of McDoubles, and he's like, hey guys, anybody want some McDoubles? So we're passing McDoubles around, and oh, it was awesome. So I can't not have one. I mean, it would be impolite. So so we had plenty. It was running over Steve's table. He had platters of cookies and fruit and dip, and we had cheese, chili dip, and everything piled up, stuff left over from the party, and it was awesome. And here with these guys, they they had a feast, and the Lord is more than sufficient to supply all of our needs, and it's awesome. And he was filling their bellies. And they gathered up all the fragments. Jesus said, hey, gather up all the fragments that nothing be lost. We don't want to waste the blessings that the Lord provides for us. And we want to collect them all. And I think it was a picture here for his disciples. They're kind of doubting. They're like, man, Lord, how are you going to do this? And they're working the math out. And they're like, well, this is not going to, I don't see how you could come through in this situation. You're gonna have to do something. I can't even guess how we could ever feed this many people. 5,000 people. Okay, so I don't know if any of you have gone down to, like, say, the Alfond Arena down in Orono for a hockey game or something like that, and that holds like 5,500 people. So look at that. Wow, that's a lot of people. And how do you feed that? I mean, it's insurmountable. So they went and they collected all the fragments. And it said in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and they filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. It's 12 baskets. Why 12? Well, it was a lot of leftovers. But there was one for each one of the disciples. I don't know, maybe it was a random number, but I think the Lord does that. So the guys are gathering fragments and they've got baskets full and they're each holding, and Jesus is like, okay, how much do we have left over? And they're each holding a basket, and wow, it's right in front of me. Wow, I saw you provide, Lord, over, and now I've got a basket full. The 3 loaves and 2 fish wouldn't even cover the bottom of the basket. Lord, this is awesome. You are awesome. So the disciples needed that lesson in trusting the Lord, even when the odds weren't good. And in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a truth the prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So Jesus, when he perceived it, he didn't even hear, this is the wrong kingdom. I'm not a king here. This isn't my kingdom. And knowing that, perceiving that, I don't know if the disciples kind of were hearing that, starting to hear that, and Jesus is like, okay, all right, it's time to go. It's time to jet out of here because it's not good. I wonder if he did that to protect them, you know. Say, hey guys, let's take another trip. Our work is done here, so hey, let's head on. And I wonder about that too sometimes with us. And again, you can say, well, why, Lord? Why? Everything's happening here. The people are all here. People are partying, high-fiving each other. They're all filled. This is going great. Why would we leave? Why do you want us to go? And sometimes, again, we just have to trust him, because he'll do things for the disciples. They were still of that mentality. Well, we want a king. God is going to send the Messiah. He's coming, and you're the guy. So he's going to come and conquer and rule and reign. And Rome, we're sick of it. We've had enough of it. The government is going sideways. It's spiraling downhill. And we need reform. And you're the guy that's going to come in and take care of all of that stuff and set it right. And Jesus is like, no. It's not time yet. It's not my time yet. So let's go. We've got other work to do. We've got other people to see. We've got other appointments that we need to be present for. So let's go. Sometimes he'll do that with us. And the right response is, okay, Lord, let's go. So verse 16, and when even had come, his disciples went down to the sea. Jesus went up onto a mountain by himself alone. We saw that earlier. We see that often. He goes and spends time alone with his Father, which is a good habit, a good thing for us to see. But he sends his disciples down to the sea. And we know from other accounts in the other Gospels that he told them, he said, hey, why don't you go head over and head over to the other side, and I'll catch up with you. Head out and get on your way. And so when even was come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And now it was dark, and Jesus was come to them. And sometimes when we're rowing, it comes, you know, we see in the other Gospels that there a storm comes up, and they're rowing. It's the fourth watch of the night, and it's dark, and there's a storm, and they're working really hard, and it's starting to despair, starting to give up hope, and starting to become afraid. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind. And so when they rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking in the sea and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, be not afraid. A lot of times storms will come up, especially on those, after those mountaintop experiences, after those times when you see the Lord provide and say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I've seen great things, and Lord, you're awesome, and oh, why? I want to live here always, and I want to be right here. And sometimes trials and storms will come our way after those times, and it will seem really dark, like we're all by ourselves. We're alone. It's dark. It's hard. Stuff is happening. Waves are breaking over the deck. We're getting wet. It's cold. It's dark. Where are we going? Why did we get in this ship? What did he say? Are you sure that he said get in the ship? Or did he say something like, hey, go over and sit down there and don't slip? And the guys are getting, you know, seasick and getting ready to, you know, barf and whatever. And so Jesus comes and they walk into them on the water. And one of the other Gospels said he was gonna walk right by and hey guys. And they're like, ah, you know, and they're rowing and they're afraid. They're like, what? And again, we have the benefit of seeing that. We watch Avengers and we watch the superhero movies and we see people flying and whatever, Iron Man and, you know, all the, and we're kind of desensitized to it. But this guy, whoa, this is, oh, Lord. And they were afraid, and he calms them down and says, hey, it is I, do not be afraid. And then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately they were there at the land where they went. And I wonder, being in the ship, and they're rowing, and Jesus comes in, and he comes into the ship, and they're like, hey, and he say, hey, guys. And then all of a sudden, boom, the boat runs aground, and they're like, hey, we're here. Whoa, okay. Jesus, this is, okay. So how do we respond in the storm? Jesus is there. All we have to do is willingly receive him into the ship, and he'll come and he'll be with us. It says, the following day, when all the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there save the one whereinto the disciples had entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that the, his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, and after that the Lord had given thanks. Then the people saw therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. They also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? So yeah, they all the people said, wait a minute, they're getting done. They said, boy, am I getting kind of hungry. Hey, where's Jesus? Did you see it? I didn't. No, where'd he go? And so they're all looking around, and they go, and they find, oh, well, there's a boat missing. His disciples went, oh, so he must have gone over there with them. And so they get in, some go around, some take a boat across and go in there. And but we didn't see him get into the boat with them. Jesus, how did you get here when he got over to the other side? And it's kind of neat, Jesus, his response here, in true Jesus fashion, he doesn't really answer their question per se, but he gets right down to the heart, he gets right down to the root of the matter. They're like, hey, how'd you get here? And Jesus answered and said, I just walked across. And no, he said, Jesus answered and said, verily, 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 I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. The miracles that Jesus did, and the miracles that Jesus does, is to show his power, to show that he is who he said he is. He is who he said he is. And this is kind of the conclusion that caused all the tension in chapter 5, the miracles. You know, Jesus is, he's powerful, and he can do these things. But the people came over, and they asked the wrong question. They're like, hey, how'd you get here? He said, no. He said, the reason that you guys are here is because you saw the miracles. You saw what I could do for you, but what I want for you is for you to come and not be with me for what you can get, but for to be with me. And we know that by the next verse. Jesus answers and says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him God the Father has sealed. And sometimes we're that way. I can be more interested in what Jesus can do for me rather than what he's already done, and or just rather being with him. And we can spend a lot of time on things that don't satisfy. When we were saying again, I'm writing it down as we're worshiping the Lord, and he's like, hey, isn't that awesome how God does that? And I didn't talk to these guys at all about what songs we were going to sing and how we were going to worship the Lord. And one of the phrases in one of the songs was, I need you to fill the void. I need you to fill the void. And Jesus said, hey, don't labor for the things, for meat that perishes, but for meat that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for God the Father has sealed him. And sometimes, you know, we'll spend a lot of time and energy on things that don't satisfy, that don't fill, and that never will satisfy. You think, oh, if I could just get this thing, this material thing. Oh, if I could just get this position. Oh, if I could just have a better relationship with this particular person, or if I could have, you know, these things, and you find as you get those things, the Lord say provides those things, or whatever you say, wow, that didn't that wasn't quite what I was expecting, or that didn't feel like I thought it would. And sometimes it's just business. We need to think of a song, one of the songs on the radio that sometimes we need to lay down what's good and find what's best. And if there are some here that don't know Jesus, you know, he's the meat. You know, he said my body is meat. He's the substance. Jesus is the substance. And in relationship with him endures to everlasting life. And say, okay, well, yeah, well, how do I know that? I don't know, take your word for it? It says it in the Bible? Okay, well, you know what? God the Father has set his seal on him. Yeah, the word says it. And Jesus said, hey, labor for that meat which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For him, God the Father is sealed. God has sealed it. God said so. And then they said to him, well, what should we do that we should work the works of God? And Jesus is like, oh, okay. So they're like, okay, well, you're talking to us something. You're not talking about food exactly, we don't think. So you're talking something religious talk to us. So we're going to, okay, so what do we do that we might work the works of God? How do we do this religious thing? How do we do this religion thing? So they weren't quite there, but they were getting there, and they were somewhat sincere. So Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. It's not about religion. What pleases the Lord is my relationship with him, your relationship with him. And they said unto him, well, what sign are you going to show us that we may see and believe? What work are you going to do? Well, because our fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. You can see them like, you know, and so they bring up the food thing. We're hungry. Well, our fathers ate manna. I mean, if you're as powerful as God, I mean, let's do that again. The fish sandwiches were awesome. So why don't we do that? Because we believe, yeah. And notice how rarely Jesus does miracles on demand. He could have done that, could have fed them again, but that's not what they needed. And when people come and say, hey, what miracle are you going to do? That's not the point. Lord, what are you going to do for me? Like when I do it, I'm guilty of that. I see that as a father with my kids. I'm hungry. Nice to meet you, hungry. I'm daddy, and you know, so those things. Yeah, it's awesome. And I say, come on, you guys. You know, your legs aren't broke, you know, or whatever. Hey, some nice asking. What? I'd like to hear some nice asking, you know, at least. But, yeah, but I'm guilty of the same thing. Man, how awesome is it that the Lord gives us children to kind of show us the picture. And so many examples, so many parallels. Like, oh, Lord, it's hard. This is a hard saying. But it's good. It's good. So in verse 32, Jesus says unto them, verily, 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 I say unto you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gave you true bread from heaven. And manna really was a picture of Jesus. And we're not going to go there because I don't want to kind of start wrapping things up to be a blessing and not a cursing to the children's ministry folks. But manna... Go and do some do some study on your own. Manna, what was the manna all about? What was that thing? And it served a purpose there at that time with the guys in the wilderness. But manna was a type of Jesus. If you look at the little round wafers, the little round seeds that came, and they were white, just as Jesus was without blame and without sin, and they were kind of round, oval shaped, and so they had no corners, no beginning, no end, just like Jesus. And the more you go, and you say, and when it came, it was only lasted for a day, so you have to keep coming back, and it's awesome. Anyway, so go and do that study on your own. It's very cool. So Jesus said, "Hey, my Father gave." It wasn't Moses that provided the manna for you guys or for your fathers. It was God. He did that, and that was talking about me. It was about me, and I'm here in front of you. For the bread that comes. And he kind of explains, verse 33, for the bread of God is he that comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. It's me. That was a picture of me. And then they said unto him, well, Lord, give us this bread forevermore. Great. Sign us up for that. But they were not understanding the spiritual substance. And Jesus is the substance. He is standing right in front of them, and they are worshiping his shadow, as it were. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And never hunger. Never hunger, never thirst. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, she said, Jesus said the very similar thing to him, to her, and she said to him, give me this water that I won't thirst anymore. And he said, I am the water. I am the bread. I am the life. He said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger and shall never thirst. But we know that this is something a little bit different. Remember when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he will be filled. So there is a hungering, there is a thirst that comes, a thirst for righteousness, and it's our job to come to him. If we come to him, he will fill us. Being in his presence, he will provide, and he's the substance. And as long as you come to Jesus, you'll never be hungry. You'll never be thirsty. He's the well that never runs dry. But I said unto you that you have also seen me, and you don't believe. And all that the Father has given me will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a great thing. What an awesome thing that the Lord has given us grace and mercy. And he won't cast us out. We can cry out to him and lift up our voice. Say, Lord, you don't realize what I've done. You don't realize how messed up I am. Who would forgive me? I can't be forgiven. But not according to Jesus, what he just said. He said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you don't fit in anywhere else, if you find like, man, I don't fit in. You fit in with Jesus. You fit in with him. How awesome is that? For when I came down to heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. What is the Father's will? I'm so glad you asked, Jesus said. Because this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all that he hath given to me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who seeketh the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He's not willing that any should perish. So let me get this straight. So if I come to you, then you forgive my sin. And if I believe your words and follow you, then I can have everlasting life. I can have eternal life. Well, this is like the best deal in forever. That's like the best thing in the universe. This is a game changer. This changes everything. It's awesome. Don't be like the Jews. In verse 41, the Jews murmured against him and said, because he said, I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. Oh, the religious guys. Oh, man. Come on, there's no free passes to heaven. Oh. The Lord, he has a plan. We have the opportunity to worship him and serve him, to follow him, because he's the one that fulfills. We can trust in him. And it really comes down to, what do I believe him? Do I really trust him? Do I have faith? Do I believe him? I believe he is who he said he was, and that he can do what he said he can do. And we can worship him and worship him for who he is. Or we can continue to try to work our way and earn our way like the religious leaders. But it's empty, and those things won't fulfill. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger and never thirst. So Jesus shows that he's with us. He was with them in the blessings, in the partying, in the high five, eating fish sandwiches in the grass. And he's with them in the storm, in the trials, in the persecution from the religious folks. He said, you know what? Just come and be with me. Spend time with me. Sit at my feet. Trust me. Believe me. I'll wrap my arms around you and love you. Lord, let's be people like that. Lord, we're so thankful for your unending mercy. Lord, please pour out your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to understand your word, to hear you clearly, to sit at your feet, have you wrap your arms around us, comfort us, hold us, show yourself strong and faithful, help us to be obedient, help us to be with you. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you would bless them, that you would make them successful in serving you and being the hands and the feet that pass out your provisions to each other, to this body, and to the town that we live in. And Lord, please be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.